businessmen know, that we have, we've looked at this with you in mind, the ability to access these small business loans, again, with an opportunity for forgiveness of, a portion that relates to, payroll costs, and that would include payments to crew members on a 1099 form. Know that these are available for you, that the expansion of the unemployment benefits under state law previously, you might not have been covered, but with this expansion, it does provide coverage for self-employed, independent contractors, and those that would otherwise not traditionally be eligible for unemployment insurance. This includes those who did have job offers and who would have started soon, like for instance in your upcoming fishing season. And so know that as we're all trying to work through the details, that several of these opportunities that you might not have believed were open to you as fishermen are now under this CARES Act. The last thing I want to add, and give my great thanks to my colleague Dan Sullivan, is the directed assistance to the fisheries, the $300 million. NOAA is, developing an implementation plan on that. We're working with Chris Oliver on it. We know that this is a sum of money that is going to have to be dispersed amongst the fisheries all over the country. And some would say, well, it's not enough to make a difference. I would just ask us not to focus on, not to get too focused on the dollar amount. We've created a new authority here, and I think it is something that we can continue to appropriate for. But I do think it is designed to help complement the existing and expanded national programs that are out there. I know there's going to be a lot of questions about what can go forward with testing. How do we get ourselves out of this? What's the next step with phase four? But I've talked longer than I cared to, so I will turn it over to my colleague so that we can get questions after that.
Great. Matthew, Lisa, can you guys hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Thanks, Matt. And look,
wait a minute. Dan, stop a minute. Anybody's got their on sound, put it on mute, because you're everybody's breaking up. The senator broke up and you're breaking up now. So if you got your phone, all 65 of you listening, turn it on mute until you're ready to talk. That way you all can hear.
Thank you, Tom. Look, I just want to thank all of you for everybody putting this together. You know, obviously, older here in the center is it's got a quick, but there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be bumps, there's going to be snafus. We are, hear me now, Matt? Can you hear me now?
No, you guys, they're still on the line. And you can't hear the senator's breaking up. You got to put it on mute. Everybody put it on mute until he's finished talking.
About a minute.
I'm still breaking up.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better now?
That's a little better.
So let me just say one thing though that hopefully you can be sure of is that we. When we were drafting this, we had your guys' interests in mind and every element of this. On the small business, we were working to make sure that you were covered in that paycheck protection program. Lisa talked about the $300 million program. We're going to be, you know, obviously, I don't think it's enough, but we we worked our ass off to make sure we had a new program in there for our fishermen, and we can always plus that up. Even on the unemployment side, we made sure that the expanded unemployment benefits would cover deckhands and other fishermen. And so we know there's a lot more to do here, but like I said, the focus on our fishing community from our perspective as this bill was coming together was something that we took very, very seriously. A couple other things you may have seen just last week, we got NOAA to waive the onboard observer requirements for the small fleet. And we think that that's, again, going to be helpful here. We're working on additional direct Section 32 program purchases for, again, what we were able to do last year, which were quite significant. A number of us, Senator Murkowski and I, had a good meeting with the head of Homeland Security to make sure that the visas for our processing facilities were going to move forward. And we are still working with the U.S. Trade Representative on additional challenges that we have with that organization. They had just taken the Chinese imports, the tariffs off the tilapia that we're going to try to get back on. And we're still working on some of these issues relating to the Russia embargo. So there's a number of areas, like I said, that from our perspective, having you guys first and foremost in this bill, we still have details of the specifics. Let me give you one, for example, interest payments on boats. We think that the that should be covered by the definition of mortgage on this Paycheck Protection Act loans. We're going to continue to promote that. But the whole idea here is to get us through this challenging time, which the whole country is going through. Our state in particular has a lot of challenges. Keep our small businesses afloat. As Lisa mentioned, in my view, you guys are the ultimate small businesses. And then get through this and, you know, have a strong recovery. So the final thing I want to say is, you know, we've written this. We're trying to get the interpretation of the broader policy issues. But we also want to make sure that you guys are bringing your individual cases to us. So if you think your operations, your boat, something's happening where the feds are screwing you, or you don't have a good sense of it. You know, a lot of my staff's on this call right now. Our staffs are working together. We are here to serve all of you to get through this rough time, but we will, and we'll get through it stronger and more resilient. But rely on us. We're here 24/7 to help. That's all I got.
All right, this is the Congressman's turn right now. You've heard of the two senators. I don't disagree with anything they've said. I will suggest respectfully, we may have, and I hope we do have, a good season. The big challenge we have right now is also recognizing the processing part of it, because you can't really have a good season of fishing if you don't have processors. And the big problem there is, of course, the workers, and we have to insist, and we keep working on the CARES bill to make sure you have the proper equipment to test everybody that gets on that airplane as they get off the airplane, and they don't leave once they get to a processing plant. There may be some restrictions on the fishing boats themselves and whether you can come to shore or not. If you have people that have not been tested, they're not locally or actually from out of state. And those are the challenges we should be looking at. We're all looking at this for the money part of it. We got to have a good season this year, and that good season comes from your activities, your cooperation, utilizing the delegation to see if we can and continue to work together to get this done. I'm optimistic you're gonna have a good season. And if we keep the processing plants work, we will have a good season. So it's gonna be a lot of work together and making sure that no one tries to take advantage of anything in this bill we've had. but uses the intent of it. And again, as the senator said, that's what we're here for. And that's all I've got to say right now. I'm going to stay on a little while. I got another phone call in about 10 minutes. So anybody's got any questions of me, you better ask them quick. I'm done. Hello. Someone shut off.
I can hear you, Don.
Okay. I'm through.
Okay, so this is Frances Leach, the executive director of UFA. So we can just go ahead and start asking these questions. I'll leave it up to you, delegation, to decide who's going to answer them if you want to all chime in. I'm going to start with the first one, which was submitted by Kathy Hansen. And Kathy says, the $300 million fishery assistance has a clause that to be eligible, you need a 35% reduction compared to your five-year average. But the deadline is in September. Most fishermen have not really finished up their season to see where they stand in comparison to the 35% reduction. Do you apply now, and then after September, the agency in charge treats it more like a fishery disaster funding prorated out? And what if an individual fisherman had a 1 year within the five where they were sick or had a broken down vessel that significantly changes their overall average?
Which one of us want to answer that?
I'll take a crack at that, since you know, we worked on putting that provision together. I think if you can estimate now, I would apply now, and you can always amend it. And again, we will work closely with all of you on this, because what we're seeing is the CARES Act came out in a way that was obviously very rapid, because we wanted this to get out to as many small businesses and individuals as possible. But one of the problems is on the seasonality of our Alaskan, not just fisheries, but tourism. In some ways, there's a disconnect. So what we want to do is for this money to go out without waiting for the season to end. So try to apply now. The law does allow for NOAA to make awards mid-season on a rolling basis, trying to think through these challenges on the different fishery seasons. So our recommendation, we will work closely with all of you, is to apply now. We work with NOAA, and if there are other areas where the average, for example, on that one example you gave, is problematic on a five-year appropriate or a five-year average, we will work with you and NOAA on getting these kind of awards out. We wrote this provision with NOAA. And so, but the goal is to try to get as much money out now as possible. So apply now, and we will work with you on any kind of amendments that have to happen as it relates to a longer season.
Thank you, Senator Sullivan. Okay, the next question comes from Buck Lukaitis, who is the United Fishermen of Alaska board member. He says, thank you for the SBA disaster relief program for small businesses. It appears that the SBA loan and paycheck protection program, loan forgiveness program, will work for Alaska fishermen, but we won't know for sure. Most Alaska fishermen employ 1099 workers seasonally, not W-2 employees. Can you and your staff get involved in implementing regulations so that we are ensured that these small business programs will work for us?
Yes.
I'll, I'll add to Don's comment. Yes, we'll work with you, but also I think it is important. I mentioned in my comments, when you look to the definitions within the SBA program, the definition of payroll costs includes any compensation for an income of sole proprietor, independent contractor that is a wage, commission, earned income, net earnings from self-employment. That includes payments to a crew on a 1099 form. So it should allow you to apply for a loan using this calculation prorated over the coverage period, but more important, directly to the 1099 workers. And additionally, within CARES, the federal unemployment insurance program, as we mentioned, is expanded for unemployment insurance for those that are self-employed, including those, again, who you may have lined up to come work for you this summer. They had a job offer, they would have started. Maybe they don't have a strong work history, and so they would have otherwise been ineligible for unemployment insurance. But what we do with this expansion of the program is to allow for the self-employed individuals, the independent contractors who get a 1099, sole proprietors. So we, as Dan has said, as we all said, you are top of mind when we think about this program for the small business. You are the ultimate small business. So those who employ 1099 workers seasonally should be accounted for.
Yeah, and I'll just add to that. The answer is yes, we will work with you. Yes, we wrote it to cover all of you. And other senators knew that as we were discussing this legislation. We talked about it. So we will work very closely on the hiccups and snafus on the federal implementation of this, which, by the way, there will be. We will work with all of you to fix it. But the clear intention, and every senator knew this, was to cover our fishing vessels, period. As a fisherman, you're eligible for the Paycheck Protection Program, and SBA and Treasury will just continue to work on the implementation with them. But that was the goal, that was the focus. We talked about it, we wrote on it, and if it's not clear enough, we'll make sure it's clear enough to SBA and Treasury.
I want to just add real quick that one of the things that has come out this week is as the legislation was advanced, it provided for loans at up to 4% for 10 years. The Secretary of Treasury has made clear that those are going to be 1% loans.
Thank you, Senators. So, and just so you know, I mean, there's a lot of questions here. I think you guys have them in front of you. So I'm kind of going to just jump around, and please let me know when you guys have to go. Otherwise, I'll just keep asking questions.
Okay.
Okay. The next question is also about the SBA loan. This comes from Susan Doherty of Southeast Saners Association. She would like to know if she could apply for assistance to help her fleet comply with quarantine requirements for their crew. It seems much more likely to be effective if Southeast Alaska Saners establishes hotels and bed and breakfast offering quarantine rates and pickup and delivery of crew and facilities ahead of time rather than each individual captain navigating these waters on their own. Would this program allow for funding for a group of fishermen ahead of time so the path is paved for compliance?
I don't know whether these funds under the 7A loan could be used for something like paying for hotels or B&B to provide for quarantine, but I think that is something that we can and should check with SBA on. I think it is important to know that nonprofits can apply for SBA loans through the paycheck protection. And again, under the same terms for payroll costs, for mortgage payments, and the like. But as to the specifics, I think what Susan is saying makes absolute sense. These are clearly a cost related to COVID-19. But whether or not they would be allowable costs, I don't know. Maybe Dan, you've got more information on that, or Don.
Hey, Eric, are you on? Can you take a crack at that one? I know that we looked at it. I want to see if you can address it right now. Eric.
Dan, if you're talking to me, I'm not ready to get out of here, and I want to apologize, everybody, but I got another phone call.
Thanks,
so,
Dan.
I'm talking to Eric Elam. Don?
Go ahead. So the payment protection loans are based off of payroll, and so for the regular operating expenses, the SBA also has the economic injury disaster loan. That would probably be a better option for using for the general operating expenses like that. Nonprofits are able to fall for that.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go to the next question. Here's a question from Linda Bankin, Alaska Longline Fishermen's Alliance. It says, most fishermen are focused now on fishing, or at least getting ready for fishing. What steps do fishermen, processors, and fishing organizations need to take now, and it's 1 to 3 months to be positioned to find relief through the CARES Act?
Well, I think probably the most immediate thing they can do is familiarize yourself with the programs that have been expanded by the CARES Act. Again, whether it's the small business loans, whether it's expanded UI, whether it's the contours under the Fisheries Disaster Fund. I do know that all of us are working together, the delegation, all of our staff, to really try to get the best resources available to people as possible, and to have them translated into some level of comprehensible English rather than kind of the bureaucratic stuff that you have to wade through. So I know that utilizing you, Francis, and those at UFA to distribute information, I think would be helpful as people go in to go into this season.
I can say one thing about this. If I was a fisherman, I'd be prepared and I'd go out and have a good season. And as you go through this process, then we have to be able to take and implement what we tried to do. We sort of gave birth to a child and we don't know what it's going to be when it grows up. This is a very complex bill, but right now I go ahead just like you've done before, get a good fishing season, be prepared, and get to make sure the fish are processed, and we'll go through this as those challenges come up, because we're predicting now. We're predicting. We're not looking at actuality. So if I was a fisherman, I'd be getting ready, and I go out and get my fish. That's the first thing.
Great, thank you.
So I would add to that Linda's question. I would do what Don said, but I would also apply for the Paycheck Protection Program. And if you're self-employed and you're just going out on your own, that application process begins April 13th. And people have to apply under the statute for one of the loans by June 30th. But remember, the loans are such that, let's say you have four employees, you can get a certain amount of a loan. If you keep the four employees that you're fishing with, or one or two, and you keep them on the payroll, which you will be if you're out fishing, then that loan, after 8 weeks, converts into a grant. So that's the key thing in this Paycheck Protection Program, which I think in some ways our fishermen are going to have an advantage of. You're going to keep your employees working because we want you to be fishing. And if you get the loan and you keep your employees paid, then the loan becomes a grant from the federal government. So I would encourage everybody, and again, we can help through UFA and others, before you're going out fishing, as you're going out fishing, when you get back, is to apply for these loans, because you're going to keep your employees, and then the loan will be transformed into a grant for you. Well,
Senator, keep in mind, most of the fishermen work on shares, so I don't know how that would have worked.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to move on to a different topic, the topic of testing. This comes from Stephanie Madsen of Etsy Processors. As our industry seeks to put in place COVID-19 protocols to keep fishing crews and communities safe, it is clear that widespread access to rapid testing capacity is critical. To that end, what is your assessment of the timeline for widespread access to COVID-19 testing in our state? And after testing needs for patients and healthcare workers are met, is there a way to ensure the seafood industry has access to testing, given that we are a critical food production industry?
Well, this is the question that everybody is asking, whether you in the seafood industry, whether you're oil up north, whether you're Red Dog Mine, whether you are the hospital, the medical providers, everybody wants access to this rapid testing. Senator Sullivan and I were on a call earlier this morning with Dr. Fauci, and an hour's worth of call with him, and I would suggest probably 40 minutes of that was dedicated to where we are with rapid testing, because I think we recognize that this is how we get people back to work. This is how we ensure, a fishing season, because we know that the fish can come, but if we don't have processors that can process them, you all are sitting out there on limits and watching fish go by. So having a mechanism and a means to test, whether that is at the facility itself or coming into the state, this is where the focus is. I think there's been some good news in recent days. The FDA had approved last week a rapid test through Abbott Labs. 15 of those machines are on their way to Alaska or in Alaska already. There are other tests that are different that are designed to almost be, it's not an at-home test, but it is much more streamlined and relatively quick, and it's one that is designed to help identify whether or not you have been previously exposed. We're learning now that many people who have tested positive had no symptoms whatsoever, and so if they can be given kind of the all clear, if you will, to work because they have been exposed and they have an immunity to it, that puts them in a completely different category than someone who has tested as is and is positive and needs to be segregated and quarantined. So I think that the answer for us in the state particularly and for you in the industry for this summer is getting access to these rapid tests that are easy and quick, and you can get a response in about 5 minutes. They're coming and they can't come soon enough. But know that this is an effort that the state is engaged with, the private sector is engaged with, and the effort to ramp it up, the way it was described on the call was, we need a Manhattan Project when it comes to pushing out availability and access to these tests.
And I don't really have much more to add than, you know, this call we were on today with Dr. Fauci and about 50 U.S. senators. The testing issue came several times. And we are, the delegation is working with the state, working with industry to get these tests, the new Abbott one, as quickly as possible. I had the opportunity to reach out to some of the senior folks at Abbott this morning, tell them what we needed in Alaska. So we're pulling every single lever we can on this issue.
Okay, thank you. I do need to ask, how many more questions do you think you can take? Because we have a lot and I want to prioritize.
I've got another call at the top of the hour, so I've got about 20 minutes here.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, the next question I have, sorry, I got kind of off, is from Julie Decker of Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. How will the $300 million for fisheries relief be distributed nationwide?
Dan, you want to jump that?
Yeah, I'll jump on that. Well, look, there's no direct formula in the legislation. The reason we pushed for it, we worked with NOAA to write it, was first, you know, we made the argument, the farmers are getting direct aid relief. How about my farmers of the sea, right? So, given that we are the dominant fishing industry in not just America, but in the world, we will be advocating for a good portion of that. But it doesn't have a necessary breakdown in terms of the exact amount. Mentioned we work with NOAA staff on drafting it, and we're going to be working close with them on implementation. The important thing on this, which trust me, we push for a big number, is that this is a direct appropriation. That means the money is already appropriated. Normally, we're used to the fishery disaster assistance, which, as you guys all know, takes a lot of time. Governor declares a disaster, season's over, Commerce analyzes it, Congress has to appropriate it. That can take years. This will not be the case. So this is direct, and we think that most of us, hopefully most of it will come to us, but there will be other regions of the country that certainly will be applying, but we're the dominant region. We wrote the bill, and we will work with NOAA on implementing these funds.
Okay, thank you. The next question is about tariffs. The news that our government is going to waive all tariffs on farmed Chinese tilapia is a devastating blow at a critical time. While you are all working round the clock to try and stabilize our businesses at a time of unprecedented uncertainty, the administration has inexplicably decided that now would be a great time to undercut Alaska's groundfish in the domestic market. They've taken this step even while China continues to hit us with 35% tariffs, basically locking us out of the largest and most rapidly growing seafood market in the world. Why does USPR have it out for the Alaska seafood industry, and what can we do to support your efforts?
I'll take that.
Go ahead.
I think as you got, look, I agree. Who has said, Stephanie? I agree with that 100%. I think you guys know. One of the things that I've tried to do here is educate USTR. They're smart people, but on the fish tariff issues, they are
can be really blockheaded. So I think you guys know we worked with that. We worked with all of you when they initially put tariffs on our fish that was caught by all of you, sent to China for filleting and then resent back here, and they put tariffs on that. We got those lifted. Well, that was hundreds of millions. It took a while. And we worked really hard with them to make sure that our seafood industry was part of the China deal. And I think you guys know the Chinese committed to purchasing, hundreds of millions. It's actually in the billions of seafood. Again, as that's implemented, and hopefully it will be strongly, that should benefit us. But what I've been telling the U.S. trade rep is anytime you have a damn decision to make with regard to seafood, check with my office because you screw it up so much. So Larry and my team, Eric, have already called them this week. I have a call planned with Lighthizer tomorrow on this very topic. And I will work my tail off to get this removed. It's ridiculous and stupid. So we'll just go fight these guys again.
I want to reinforce what Dan has just said. It's almost inconceivable that they have moved forward with this, and particularly as Dan has mentioned, in view of everything that has gone on, the engagement between Senator Sullivan's office, all of the delegation's offices here, trying to weigh in, and not trying to, but weighing in and really trying to better educate those at USTR. And I can't understand how they can be so short-sighted in underestimating the value and the importance of the fisheries and the seafood industry. It's just inconceivable. So this is something that, again, it can't be let to stand, and the entire delegation is going to take on USTR over this. But it's just yet one more insult to the initial injury, and it's not acceptable.
But I would just say, if you're looking for good news, almost every time they make a mistake, which is too often, we have been successful, I think, almost on every one to get them to fix it. So we will bring all our, delegation's power to bear to get them to fix this one, which I'm confident we will be able to do.
On those happy notes with the Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, this is Congressman Young, and I agree with working with the delegation with you. I do have to make another phone call. I do appreciate it. So God bless you all, and let's have a good season.
Thank you, Congressman. Okay, the next question is from Malcolm Milne of North Pacific Fisheries Association. He says, we'd like to request the delegation support in having NIPS random access management allow COVID-19 travel and exposure risk to be accepted as a condition for halibut sablefish IFQ medical transfers for the 2020 IFQ season and to not require a doctor to sign medical transfer paperwork to qualify.
So my staff have shared the same concerns with NOAA. I do understand that the Alaska Region Office has made a PDF document available for healthcare providers so that they can sign it digitally. So the fisherman doesn't need to get a hard copy of this. They should be able to route it through a healthcare provider and get it completed digitally. But NOAA has also included some language for healthcare providers to certify that an individual should be eligible for medical transfer to avoid travel exposure if they're at high risk for COVID-19. So we have shared that concern and continue to work that.
Yeah, and I would just add, we are certainly happy to look at this and talk with you know, NIMS and the RAM program to about exempting a doctor's signature for the application to qualify. So, again, this is why these conference calls and outreach that we're doing as we hit these unprecedented times, and also work to implement the CARES Act and other issues we're working on, are so important, because it's a good recommendation, but I just wasn't aware of it.
Thank you. Okay, the next question is a Pebble Mine question related to COVID-19. This comes from Katie Enslow of Bristol Bay Reserve. The Bristol Bay Defense Alliance, of which Bristol Bay Reserve is a member, sent a letter on March 19th to the Army Corps requesting that they temporarily suspend the review process of the Pebble EIS in light of COVID-19 pandemic. In response to the letter, the Army Corps only agreed to extend the deadline for cooperating agencies to submit their comments on the draft final EIS 1 week from March 23rd to March 30th. The Alliance then sent letters to Senators Murkowski and Sullivan on March 30th, advising the Corps' unwillingness to hit the pause button on the EIS review. Is there anything you can do to require the Army Corps to suspend the Pebble EIS review process until after the COVID-19 pandemic passes?
Yeah, we did get, my office got a copy of the letter from the Alliance, and clearly understand the concerns and the issues. I think Dan and I can attest to the fact that calling any agency about anything other than the COVID-19 situation, you just can't find anybody there to talk about other things. It's everybody is all in all the time on COVID-19, and so this is putting a strain on, I think, all the federal agencies, and so we're trying to figure out kind of the best path forward here. But know that I share the concern, and we'll be working with you on it. But we've got to figure out at this point in time what is that best path forward.
And I would just add that Lisa's point actually in some ways makes the point that was in the letter, which is the Corps is, if you're watching, is 100% focused on the pandemic all over the country. And so, you know, their ability to do anything else, I think, is called into question. And to be honest, I do think they should be 100% focused on the pandemic right now, which is what they are. So I think it's an important point. We can look at it. We just got the letter recently, and you know, I think I speak for the entire delegation that the burden of proof is still very much on the Corps to prove that they can develop this project without harming our world-class fishery there. And you know, you see the EPA and other federal agencies calling into question the original work that was done, and they got a lot of questions to answer, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to answer any questions in the next couple months, just because this is so, everybody, it's kind of an all hands on deck issue as we focus on the pandemic.
Okay, thank you for that. This question comes from Rebecca Skinner of Alaska Whitefish Trawlers. If fisheries are reduced or shut down due to COVID-19, boat owners will struggle with loan payments, whether for boat, permit, gears, etc. I am aware that some groups are advocating for federal assistance with federal loans, but many of my members have commercial loans, not through NIMFS or the state of Alaska. My question is whether this is on the radar for the senators, or are they exploring ways to address assistance for loan payments, including commercial loans, and what can we do to assist in this effort?
I think it takes it back again to the small business lending program that CARES provides for, so that you can use these loan funds as we've all shared for mortgage payments, for rent, utilities. Senator Sullivan has talked about the forgiveness portion, so that the portions of the loan used to pay the interest, not the principal, on a mortgage could be converted into a grant. But again, making sure that you understand what the terms of these SBA loan opportunities are for you at this point in time is an important part of what you can be doing before the season really starts coming on. But this is again another area where we're looking to see if there is more that can be done with federal programs to address just concerns like this.
And I'll just add to that, you know, I think it's pretty clear that the CARES Act does not provide for restructuring commercial loans. But again, this is why I think it's important, and we can help everybody. If you apply for the Paycheck Protection Program, that does allow for interest payments to be forgiven for any fisherman that takes advantage of that program. And we think, and again, a lot of this is interpretation with the federal agencies that are implementing it, that the SBA 7A program's definition of a mortgage obligation, we think would include interest for boat payments to be forgivable. So that's kind of a half answer to your question, but we know this has come up already a number of times with a number of you who reached out to our office. So we're gonna try and nail that down to make sure that this kind of authorized relief as part of this Paycheck Protection Program covers those kind of mortgages on fishing vessels.
Okay, great, thank you. Well, I think at this time, I know that you guys have to get off and move on. So what I'd like to do is give this opportunity for our senators to give any closing remarks.
The only thing that I would wrap with is just a reminder, and I think you said this, Dan, but the $300 million that is specifically designated for the fisheries is now an authorized program. And so I think that is important for us to keep in mind. I know in previous disasters, as we have accessed disaster funds through the federal government, we hear from you all about you have the disaster, and then three seasons later, you finally see the payment. That is not what we're attempting to do with what we have structured. Again, it's trying to get resources into the hands of those who need it and need it quickly. So if you look at how this will be structured going forward, again, working with Noah, working with Chris Oliver and those folks, and you might look at this and say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't seem fair, we're not getting enough. I know that with everything that we're trying to do, folks are saying it's not enough. With this program, I think it is important to recognize that we've got opportunities beyond just this immediate time period where we can plus up those amounts. So know that is one avenue that is designed to be there to help, in addition to the small business loans, in addition to the direct assistance payments and the expansion for UI. But we know that what you ultimately want and need is to be able to get out in the water, catch the fish, have a good season, and be able to have the workers there in a safe place to be able to process the fish so we can share it with markets We've got to get the whole economy back and cooking, because if people aren't going out and eating, they're not going to enjoy the benefits of the fruits of your labor. So it's how we get whole quickly as an economy, and that's what we're trying to do. So just as much as we might not like the guidance and the separation, we know that that's the one sure thing that can keep the spread in check. So thank you for all that you're doing, and know that we're here to help.
I'll just close by thanking everybody, and you know, we're gonna get through these rough times. There's no doubt about it. You can probably tell our state, whether it's the energy sector, tourism sector, fisheries sector, you know, we're getting hit pretty hard. And what I've been telling our fellow Alaskans is, look, everybody's got a role to play. There's going to be a lot of self-sacrifice. There's a lot of scared Alaskans, Americans out there right now, not only for their health, but for their livelihoods. And my view is, it's our job in the Congress to throw every federal resource that we can at getting us through this period. Some people are saying, oh, this is a bailout. And I'm like, it's not a bailout. This is more like a natural disaster or a war that has come on our shores. And we got to fight it. And, you know, if there's ever a class of Alaskans that epitomize the toughness and resilience that we're going to need to get through this as a state and as a country, it's our fishermen. So we're here for you guys. We're working 24/7 on any issue that you want us to help you with. You have our commitment. I think you know our staff as well. Senator and I and Congressman Young have the best fisheries staff on the Hill by far, not even close. Well, we're going to need all of you too. I mean, I think there's a lot of leaders in the state around the table, around the conference all today, and there's going to be a lot of people looking to all of you as well. So we'll get through it. We got your back. Like I said, as we drafted this language, it's not perfect by any means. The implementation is going to be rocky, but we did draft almost every provision thinking about how we take care of our fishermen and our industry. So we'll keep working together. You guys, a lot of you have my cell phone. Just you count on us 24/7, and we'll get through it stronger. It's going to take a lot of work.
Thank you, both senators. I'll turn this over to Matt Allward now. Thank you again.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Technology is not my thing. I just want to reemphasize how much we really appreciate not only what you always do for our industry and the state and the people of this country, but the extra work that's going in now. And thanks so much for taking your time out of your busy days. This was great. And like you said, we know how to get a hold of you guys. And you know, we had some more questions. I think we got through the bulk of important stuff, but I'm sure we'll be sending stuff to your guys' staff as more things arise. And I'm sure we'll be in contact again soon. So,
yeah. Hey, Matt, again, just on that point, send any the questions that didn't get asked today. Just make sure you send them to our staff, and we will answer them. We'll get back to you on them. All the questions.
We will certainly do that. So again, really appreciate everything you guys are doing. And I also want to emphasize, if there's anything going on back there that we're not paying attention to or should be, or that you need our help on kind of rallying troops or whatever, just please reach out, and we're here for you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Francis. Thank you.